بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والسيد المرسلين وآل آله وصحبه وسلم ربي أشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد مفتاح باب رحمة الله عدد ما في علم الله صلاة وسلاما دائمين بدوام ملك الله وآل آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my brothers and sisters.
Wa alaikum salam.
Alhamdulillah for the opportunity to gather and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remember the one who took us by the hand to Him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who came to take you and I by the hand into the Divine Presence. And what a blessed occasion that is in the month of Rajab and approaching Laylat Isra wa Mi'raj, this blessed ascension. And may we all ascend in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to our Creator. So, inshallah, we're honored to be here amongst you and the people that remember, and it's a great blessing. So inshallah, with that, I wanted to begin with a poem about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this poem is a summation of the description we find of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the early books of Shama'il, of descriptions of him, and particularly when I read the 20th book of the Ihya Ulumuddin, which is this great summation of the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That Imam al-Ghazali is a great scholar. He wrote this encyclopedia of Islam, 40 books, covering every dimension of the spiritual life of a believer. Even talking about things we might consider mundane matters, like earning a livelihood, and how it, if approached correctly, will be a means for us to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the very center of that, the spiritual axis upon which that collection of 40 books turns is the 20th book, right in the heart, and it's the book on the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because he, as our mother Aisha radiallahu anha said, he is the Quran walking. His character was the Quran. And one of our friends studied at Al-Azhar, and when he was there, he asked the Shaykh, he said, I want to study tafsir. What is the best book of tafsir? And the Shaykh said, he was in his office, he said, get that book off the shelf. So he got the book, and it was a biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The best commentary on the Quran is his life sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this was a poetic rendition summarizing book 20 of the Ihya. Can you imagine one who was the gentlest of men, while being the most brave and just of all who've been? One who conquered all desires of self that make men weak, who granted all who asked him precisely what they seek, whom only jewels poured out his mouth whenever he would speak, who was the gem amongst the stones of men who shined unique. A selflessness and generosity that some would say was merely myth, until they'd seen the lovers of his way, who used to mend his sandals and used to patch his clothes, who used to serve his family whenever he was home, who had a noble shyness, not gazing long upon a face, who honored all he ever met, be they king or be they slave, who always found himself at home the most amongst the poor, who never angered for himself, but only for his Lord. Always just, always truthful, conscious of the one, even if it brought discomfort to himself and those he loved. A satiated stomach his whole life was rarely felt, not due to poverty, but preference of others to himself. Who knew the time of day by sun and the direction by the stars. who would walk amongst his enemies without a single guard. Devoid of any lower self, just humble and serene. Eloquent but not verbose, just precisely what he means.
Sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. Whom all within his company felt light and sacred cheer, whom there was not a thing within creation that he feared, who loved to play with children and run races with his wives, who would join the festivities and honor customs of all tribes. When people yelled and lost their cool around him, he was calm, who asked forgiveness for his enemies, even as they did him wrong.
Allah.
Who kept a goat he'd milk himself for people in his house, whose wives, when asked about him, said he was the perfect spouse. Who never looked down on a pauper or flattered once a prince, but called every soul unto the one without even a flinch. Every single gorgeous trait of character he had, of noble lineage, yet he was the orphan of his clan. One imbued with wisdom and piercing inner sight, yet he was the unlettered one who would neither read nor write. All knowledge and trait of character unflawed were placed inside his very being directly by Allah. The way to salvation and triumph after death, to detachment and joy in life with each and every breath. To walk the righteous path and never falter come what may. And may Allah give us success in following his way. They call him El Amin, the trustworthy, the honest. And we call him beloved, our master, Muhammad. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik alayhi wa ala alihi.
MashaAllah, it's going to be a busy weekend. Actually, tomorrow, Sheikh Abdullah is going to be at SBIA, right? For a program with Imam Tahir. And also tomorrow, Sidi Baraka Blue will be in Oakland. We'll be performing with Firdaus Ensemble as well. Alhamdulillah. And then also Saturday, we have a maulid as well at Masjid Abu Bakr. And, you know, we have our weekly maulid at Talif. So if everyone could come, bismillah, it's a busy week, mashallah. And we're so blessed to have programs here and for our guests to honor us and share their art with us, alhamdulillah. Inshallah, maybe we could have... Inshallah, I'm going to do some nasheed. Since we have brothers here who are artists and they write about the Prophet Muhammad, inshallah, I'm going to also share my poetry that I wrote about the Prophet Muhammad. This is my experience when I went to Medina, and you know, during the quarantine, I was inspired to just learn the piano and just, you know, learn basic stuff, and I wrote this song about the Medina, inshallah. So I'm going to recite that for you guys and maybe do some other nasheeds, inshallah, later. Alright, bismillah. This song is called Let's Go Back to Medina. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik alayhi wa ala alayhi. Ya Rasulallah madan, Ya Habiballah, Ya Nabi salam alayka, Ya Rasulallah. Let's go back to Medina and be with the beloved of God. I wish I could go back to Medina. Oh, Medina. Oh, and smell the air. Walking right through there on the white marble floor. Oh, this place, oh, so pure. Patiently waiting to enter the door of peace. Being here, my heart feels so at ease. With the Ummah sending our salutations to the best of all creation. Can't believe my eyes. Feels like paradise. Let's go back to Medina and be with the beloved of God. I wish I could go back to Medina. Medina. Ya Allah, bring me back to this sacred place. If not, let me see his face. Ya Rabbi, please let me see. Please let me see your Habib. Let's go back to Medina and be with the beloved of God. I wish I could go back to Medina. Medina, udkhulu al-Madina wa sallu alayk. Udkhulu al-Madina wa sallu alayk. Kulu ya Nabiya Muhammad alayka salam. Kulu ya Nabiya Muhammad alayka salam. Talama ashku gharami ya nur al-wujud. Talama ashku gharami ya نور الوجود وأنادي يا تهامي يا مدين الجود يا أنادي يا تهامي يا مدين الجود بنيتي أقصى مرامي أرضى بالشهود بنيتي أقصى مرامي أرضى بالشهود وأرى باب السلام يا زكي الجدود وأرى باب السلام يا زكي الجدود طالما أشكو غرامي يا نور الوجود طالما أشكو غرامي يا نور الوجود وأنادي يا تهامي يا مدين الجود وأنادي يا تهامي يا مدين الجود يا نبي قد تجلى حق بالجمال يا نبي الحمد جل حق بالجمال وعليك الله صلى ربي ذو الجلال وعليك الله صلى ربي ذو الجلال ادخلوا المدينة وصلوا عليك ادخلوا المدينة وصلوا عليك قولوا يا نبي يا محمد عليك السلام قولوا يا نبي يا محمد عليك السلام طالما أشكو غرامي يا نور الوجود طالما أشكو غرامي يا نور الوجود وأنادي يا تهامي يا مدين الجود وأنادي يا تهامي يا مدين الجود اللهم صل وسلم وبارك علي وعلى آلي.
Bismillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad al-Fatih lima yughlaq al-Khatim bima sabaq nasir al-Haqq bil-Haqq wal-Hadi ila s-sirat al-Mustaqim wa ala alihi haqq qadrihi wa miqdar al-Azim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, so wonderful to be back here. Alhamdulillah, in this place of beloveds with Ahlul Bayt. And alhamdulillah, Sidi Uthman, mashallah, who I fell in love with on my last trip, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, love's still strong, alhamdulillah, so nice to meet. And obviously our brother Baraka Blue, mashallah. It's been many years. How many years since you were last in Jordan? It's been a decade. So we lived right across from each other. My door was here, and his door was here, and we were both at Qasid. I was working at Qasid. He came to study, mashallah. Very studious student, mashallah. Yeah, mashallah. Admirable. Just sitting in the cubicle every day by himself, just reviewing. Mashallah. You haven't changed. You haven't aged, mashallah. You're looking better and better. So the only regret in time is when you don't get to do as many good things, that's when you regret looking back. And knowing that you were right across my door, and we didn't get to know each other as well, at least Allah has brought us back together now another time in the dunya. So hopefully, inshallah, we'll catch up. Inshallah. So, you know, alhamdulillah, one of the things about tonight, we won't talk long about the story of the Isra and the Mi'raj, because that's tomorrow at the SBIA. Inshallah, for anyone who'd like to come, where we recount the entire story. But what this is to remember, is that the Isra and the Mi'raj, even if we don't know all the details, it's a love story. It really is a story of love. I'll tell you, one of the times that I felt that love, I realized that this love of the Prophet ﷺ is what has been powering the Ummah, the Muslim civilization, is powered on love for the Prophet ﷺ. And you know when I felt that most clearly? I didn't feel that most clearly in the poetry, even though, you know, we love the poetry. I didn't find it in those things of higher culture. Sometimes you find it in the heart of a person, and you realize the effect that it's been having on this ummah for all these centuries, subhanAllah. I remember once, shared this story only maybe once or twice before, but where it really opened my eyes was I was walking in New Delhi, actually Old Delhi, and I had just started, this was about 10 to 12 years ago, I had just started to reconnect with my parents, my heritage. And so I'm walking in Old Delhi, which is the Muslim part near the Old Jami Mosque. I don't know if anyone's been there or seen that. A very historic, you know, ancient area, hundreds of years old. And around it is this like bustling marketplace. And, you know, things are very run down. The Muslim situation there is not like it used to be in the past. And, you know, due to a lot of different things. And there's a cacophony of noises. You know, you're hearing like chickens. You're hearing rickshaws honking and cars and people yelling and hawking items. And there are all these smells in the air. There's the dust. There's like the biryani that's cooking here, and there's some other bad smells, and all kinds of things are happening around you in your senses. And as I was walking through that with my backpack, and just, you know, I just hear, you know, back in the days in those countries, you have like these shops that sell musical cassettes, and they're blaring like stuff from their shop to get you to come inside, and they've got all these different cassettes and CDs and everything. And as I was passing by, I'm hearing a qawwali, right? I wasn't too familiar with qawwali at that time. I wasn't too open to it as well, but that's a different story. But the thing is, I was walking by, and so I hear this playing, and I'm not familiar with them, right? But because my parents speak Hindi, so I understood some of their language. It's very close to Urdu. So I turned around with the noise, and I look around, and there is a poor man with Down syndrome, sitting in the dust, literally on the street in India, which is just all these cars coming around. And he was sitting with a card, in almost inside a cardboard box. And the flap of it was up, and he was taking the flap of it and pumping it back and forth like a harmonium. And he was absolutely lost in the words of that qawwali. And and for some reason, I just zeroed in on the words. And I didn't even find it until many years later, but it stayed in my heart. And it was the qawwali was saying, and I'm not a qawwali singer, but he was saying, and you'll see why this is relevant. He said, Miraj ke shab hai noorani, Miraj ke shab hai noorani, Mujhe yaad aate hain nabi nabi, Mujhe yaad aate hain nabi nabi, Mujhe yaad aate hain nabi nabi. It's a very simple qawwali, and he was saying that the night of the ascension of the Prophet ﷺ is a Mubarak night. And sometimes I just start remembering my Prophet. Sometimes I keep remembering him and remembering him. And it was just that refrain over and over again. It's really not a very complicated qawwali. And when I heard the words recounting the Isra and the Miraj, but just this idea of the memory of Rasulullah so deep, that love so deep, and you're seeing this, the words of the qawwal, which are reflecting the love of the Prophet in the ummah through art, but being refracted through a pure soul, this man with Down syndrome, he's completely involved in, just engrossed in it. It's like the entire world does not matter to him. There's so much going on, anyone can just hit you, step over you, and he's just in another world. And that I felt like a prism, you know, of light just went right, and I felt that. And that was such a time-stopping experience for me. And that's at that point I realized that yes, we can read the poetry, study the books, but the love of the Prophet ﷺ resides in the hearts of his ummah. And if you want to know, all the words is only an expression, but the best way to connect to it is to connect to the lovers of the Prophet ﷺ. And I felt at that point, not his love for the Prophet, I felt the Prophet's love for him and the Prophet's love for all of us. Because what's coming through that pure soul, it's just like energy, right? It's just like something coming through. So he's just a conduit. And in fact, we're all conduits. We're all just like wires of the Prophet ﷺ's love coming from, since, you know, pre-eternity, you know, when Allah willed him, you know, in Allah's knowledge, you know, obviously the Prophet ﷺ's creation. But the point is that that's a mercy from Allah. And when did Allah will that? In pre-eternity, right? Because Allah, he's subhanAllah, the most beloved of Allah. And so in this, in the Isra and the Mi'raj, it's a love story. And we won't go through all of it, but in reality, when we look at who was the Isra and the Mi'raj for, we often think it was for the Prophet. But from the Prophet's perspective, when you think about it, it's actually for us. The whole Isra and the Mi'raj is a love story. And it's for us, even though he's the one who suffered so much. He's the one who suffered so much. And then Allah elevated him. Allah, you know, he was already elevated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here's the difference. Whereas Musa alayhi salam, he had an appointment with Allah and he had to go up to a mountain and to try to reach Allah. He was seeking Allah. It was different because Angel Jibreel came and Allah was seeking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah called the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up. Allah called the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up. He didn't have to go and search. And this is why, from the beginning, we know that this was showing the high rank of the Prophet ﷺ, the lofty status. And it wasn't because Allah was, you know, it wasn't because the Prophet ﷺ needed it. It's to show it to the rest of the world. Because the world was already graced by Rasulullah ﷺ. And yet, the people of the world were not fulfilling their haqq to the Prophet ﷺ. He was being opposed and bitterly persecuted. And so yet there was one group of beings that had not experienced Rasulullah, even though they knew about him, and that was the people of the heavens. The beings of the heavens. And so just imagine the treat that they got to finally lay their eyes on Rasulullah. Right? And that's why as soon as he goes, he comes from Angel Jibreel, with Angel Jibreel on Burak and goes to Masjid al-Aqsa. When he's at Masjid al-Aqsa, it's just something that's understood. All the prophets fell behind him to pray. You know, it's time for prayer, and people are equals. Everyone's saying, "No, you go. No, you please. No, you pray." And everyone's getting no. When the Prophet was among them, it was just natural. that he would be the one to take the lead. And this is prophets who have more knowledge than everyone else. They understand the leadership of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But sometimes do we allow him to take the lead in our lives? And then when he finishes the prayer, and just a few reflections, Angel Jibreel alayhi salam brings a tray, and there is one glass or a vessel of milk and one vessel of wine. In another narration, there were three with honey as well. And the Prophet immediately he reaches for the milk and he drinks it and he leaves the wine right there. And Jibreel alayhi salam sees that and tells him, he said, Asabt al-fitra. He says, you have chosen correctly and chosen the natural state, the fitra. Because milk is something that is, it's uninterfered with. It's not meddled with. And this is the fitra. When you have a heart that's not interfered with and corrupted. Whereas wine, even though it wasn't haram in that time, it was long before wine was made haram. The Prophet ﷺ himself avoided it because of his fitra. And then what did Jibreel ﷺ say? And this is what's the most amazing. Is he said, had you chosen the wine, your ummah would have gone astray. And so as my teacher taught me, he said, this is proof that an action of the Prophet ﷺ determined the fate of the ummah. One sip of the Prophet ﷺ could have determined whether we were in iman or not. Our believing in Allah was not about everything that we've done and what school we went to and what book we read. It was one sip of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and khalas, we were guided to the end of time as an ummah. Allahu Akbar. This is the being that we are speaking about when we think about Rasulullah. So if that's even from his one sip could naturally go towards what would benefit his ummah, just imagine the rest of what he did for us. And when the Prophet ﷺ, he went through all of the seven heavens and all of the beautiful things that we'll discuss tomorrow about all those things, we don't even realize how intimately connected we are to Rasulullah ﷺ. Because our sitting here was dependent on, as I said, that sip that happened before the Mi'raj. So what we don't even realize is we can go become heedless, but we are intimately connected to him. Just like a baby, like that's running around, oblivious. But there's someone watching over that baby, who cares for that baby. And this baby's like, yeah, I don't know, whatever. And there's a hardworking mother behind that child. There's a hardworking father who's always looking out and making sure they can run around a little bit, but making sure they don't get hurt, making sure they're fed, making sure they're safe and protected, getting everything they need. And as an ummah, many times we go through life not realizing how much of the blessings and love of Rasulullah is actually all over us, protecting us. His du'as from where he is now are coming towards us according to the hadith of the Prophet. So this is even as he goes beyond the seven heavens and beyond the Sidratul Muntaha into the Divine Presence and whatever it was that was there. We don't even know the words. We don't even know the words that occurred in that blessed meeting between Allah and His beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was between master and servant. But one thing we do know is that there was talk about us as an ummah there. That even in that maqam, in that place, He has concern for us. And this is the amazing thing. Like, just imagine if you were in a place after persecution, after being tortured, after being denied, after being losing your loved ones, and being stoned, and finally you're in bliss, paradise. And even there, when after all the troubles could be solved and no other hardship ever, even there you're remembering us, the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. He's still remembering us. And when he gets those prayers, he accepts it completely. But when he passes by Musa alayhi salam on his way back, right, Musa alayhi salam advises him, and he says, you know, go back. He's like, I have experience with human beings. Go back. That's exactly what he said. He said, تَجَرَّبْتَ النَّاسِ. He said, I have experience with people. And he gives the Prophet salam loving, brotherly advice from one prophet to another, an older prophet to another prophet. And you know, it was when the Prophet salam left from meeting him, Musa alayhi salam was crying. So it was asked, why are you crying, Musa? Like, why are you crying, Jannah? Why would you cry in Jannah? He said, because this young man who came after me, more people will enter Jannah from his ummah than my ummah. So even just he didn't think about, like, that didn't occur until he saw Rasulullah ﷺ, and he realized how lucky his ummah is. How lucky his ummah is. That it made other prophets cry. Because they wished that they could be the prophet of this ummah. And because Allah said, no, you can't, then they said, oh Allah, at least make me part of the ummah. But rather, the Rasulullah ﷺ is a shaheed on our ummah and on all the ummah and on all the prophets. Just think about that. Where our Rasulullah ﷺ is and how lucky we are. And then when he got that advice, the Prophet ﷺ does go back. And he goes back, why? Because if Allah gives you a commandment, right, you would take it. You wouldn't say anything. But he goes back because he knows it's in our interest. So that's why he goes back. Usually when someone, a king tells you something, go do this. Would you dare enter back and say, look, I want you to revise what you've told me? But this, as the ulama say, that one of the wisdoms of going back and forth, and we know he goes back, the prayers are 50, then goes to 40, then goes to 30. In some narrations it goes by 50 to 45 to 40, but it goes all the way down to 5. And they say that the wisdom of that, going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, is to prepare our Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for the shafa'ah, for his intercession, when he will go to Allah on the Day of Judgment and ask Allah, oh Allah, take some of the people out of the hellfire, my ummati, ummati. And Allah will say, go take these people out. And so he'll take them back. Then he'll go back and go back and go back and forth. Because it's subhanAllah. Because if he, as some of the ulama say, if it was the first time when he went to meet Allah on the Day of Judgment, that would be very, very scary. It would be awe. It would be majesty. And so here he experienced that on his own, going back and forth, back and forth. Because on the Day of Judgment, that haiba, that awe will not overtake him, but rather it will be uns, it will be intimate familiarity. Because when you see somebody very big and prominent and majestic in the beginning, you're always a little taken aback by them. You're a bit scared by them. But when you get to know them, you start to become familiar with them, and it's a love that develops. Even with the Prophet ﷺ, that's what they used to say. As they said in Arabic, they said, مَنْ رَآهُ بَدِيهَةً هَابَ وَمَنْ خَالَطَهُ مَعْرِفَةً أَحَبَّ. The one, whoever used to come up to the Prophet ﷺ suddenly, they would get a little awestruck. But once they got to sit with him, got to know him a little bit, then they would start to love him. And I put that into a poetic phrase, and it goes like this. If you saw him suddenly, one look would take your breath away. But if you sat with him, his character would steal your heart away. So the thing is, when this is the same thing with Allah, when he goes back and forth, it's because of that. Now, when you think about this as well, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him two honors on that night. That Allah let him hear his speech directly. Only Musa alayhi salam had heard Allah directly before that. But the added thing was, and this is a debate within the Ahlul Sunnah, but there is that position of the most of our scholars, of that the Prophet ﷺ also saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. He saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. And this is what will come back to benefit the ummah during the shafa'ah as well. Alhamdulillah. So this is where, when he came back, this is now think about this. This is what the great poet Muhammad Iqbal, rahmatullahi alayhi, what he said in he philosophized, as it's written, that this is the difference between a prophet and a wali, a saint. When a saint does everything for Allah and he goes to the hereafter in Jannah, that's it. He doesn't want to come back because he's with Allah now. He's with his Lord. Why the one beloved that you want to be with, you would stay forever. Your problems are over. A prophet comes back. And that's what makes the Prophet different from a wali. Any one of us, if we could just go and see a second of paradise, or be with Allah, moreover, we would never want to come back, never come back to this dunya with all the family and all the money and all the everything that we have, all the beloveds, we would never want to come back. And yet it's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says, no, I will come back. And what does he come back to? Does he come back to a life that is so much more comfortable? No. No, he came from hardship and persecution, went to Allah, and then came back to more hardship and persecution. He came back to lose his children in front of his eyes. He came back to be struck at Uhud. He came back for the fear, with the fear of Badr, at the existential threat of the trench. He came back to experience the poisoning at Khaybar that stayed with him for the rest of his life until he passed away. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? For our sake. That's why the Isra and the Mi'raj is ultimately a love story. And it's about the fact that before the victory of the world comes the spiritual victory. And we were, in one sense, in the heart of the Prophet ﷺ and there with him. And it was done for our sake. And the only thing that now is upon us, the only thing that is upon us now, is we have the example of the greatest Siddiq, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Abu Bakr, what did he say? He was just asked, do you believe about what your companion Muhammad says, that he went overnight to Jerusalem and came back, when it takes us 30 days going and 30 days coming? The Quraysh challenged. And what did Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu say? He said, if he said it, then I believe it. Because I believe something that is greater than this. I believe he's getting revelation from through the seven heavens, directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that tasdiq is why he got that name, As-Siddiq. It's why he is the best person. He is the best person. After all the prophets, he's the best of human beings. Not because, as the ulama say, not because of the amount of prayers and fasting he did, but something that had settled inside his heart. So when we realize what the Isra and the Mi'raj was from Rasulullah for us, then our only response is to be like Abu Bakr and say that we bear witness that you are the messenger of Allah, and that we will act like that and live like that for the rest of our lives. Rasulullah Sayyidina Muhammad and Ali Sahbihi Sallam. I'll just finish, inshallah, by reading something from, I'll just sing one chapter of the Sirah song, inshallah. You guys might know this from before. And I've actually started to translate the chorus into English as well. Let's see how this goes. Yeah, this Sidi Tariq Nasimi kind of got me to do it. This. So you know how it begins. La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah. La ilaha illallah, there is no God except Allah. Muhammad Rasulullah, Muhammad is his messenger. Alayhi salatullah, peace be on him from Allah. After losing wife and uncle and the boycott of his clan, after Ta'if where they stoned him, came a gift from Ar-Rahman. As he lay asleep beside the noble Kaaba in the night, he was woken by the angel and then taken up in flight. Riding on Burak, he made the journey that is called Isra, to the city of Jerusalem, to Masjid al-Aqsa. There he led the prophets in a prayer and chose milk over wine, then ascended to the heavens for a tryst with the divine. Raised beyond the seven skies, so many wondrous sights he saw, till he crossed the furthest low tree for his discourse with Allah. Sent back on that very night, he bought a gift for his ummah. On the next day, Muslims stood with him to pray their first salah. La ilaha illallah, 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah, alayhi salatullah. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik alayhi wa ala alihi.
MashaAllah, Sidi, Sheikh Abdullah also has a beautiful voice, mashaAllah. And now we're going to hear also from our brother, Baraka Blue. InshaAllah, whatever inspired Habibi, or maybe read something from your book. Oh, by the way, afterwards, he's going to have his book, mashaAllah, and he's going to sign it as well. So after Isha at 8 o'clock, we're gonna have a table so everyone can benefit from his book. But inshallah, Baraka Blue, bismillah.
Wa
MashaAllah. Yeah, I thought we were going to get more than one chapter. Yeah, we're just warming up. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah, there might be more time. There might be more time. JazakAllah khair. Sheikh Abdullah, these are beautiful reflections in addition to the beautiful poem. And alhamdulillah, I remember that one of the first things when I was learning about the life of the Prophet ﷺ that most moved me was the story of the Isra wa Mi'raj. And I love everything you highlight, and you brought the point that the Prophet ﷺ traveled these vast distances and ascended. There was a right horizontal travel and then a vertical travel. And he paved the way for us to ascend into the Divine Presence and brought us back the Salat, which is the Isra of the Mu'min, the Mi'raj of the Mu'min, the ascension of the believer. But as you pointed out, the greatest miracle that was to happen that night is that he returned from the presence to show us the light. The greatest miracle was not that he ascended the seven heavens, not that he passed where Jibreel said, I can go no further. Not that he reached the low tree and the two bows distance, O Edna. But it's that out of love for you and me, he returned back, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, alhamdulillah, as was mentioned, we have a new book, and it's called The Art of Remembrance. And it has multiple meanings. But I was reflecting on what the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brought us. And if you think about our deen, every aspect of it is dhikr. That not only is the prayer dhikr, not only is the Quran a dhikr, not only is the Prophet ﷺ himself a reminder, but he left us a blueprint for being in a state of remembrance in every moment of every day. And from when we sit, there's a dhikr. To when we stand, there's a dhikr. To when we wake up, there's a dhikr. All the way till we sleep, there is a dhikr. And alhamdulillah, we experience great gratitude to the Prophet ﷺ as well as the scholars of our ummah who have preserved this and passed this down. There are religions who aren't even 100% sure what language their prophet spoke. The Christians are like that. But yet we know the exact words the Prophet ﷺ said in every moment, waking state, stillness. Every breath that he took was dhikr, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so the Prophet ﷺ was calling us to be in this state of remembrance. And it could be said that his way is the art of remembrance. In fact, Islam is the art of remembrance. How to be in a state of remembrance in every breath. And in that sense, we are all artists, right? You are a painter. Each moment you make a mark. When you die, you step out of the painting and look at your art. Your life is your art. One of my sheikhs told me, he said, alhamdulillah, you're a poet, and that's a beautiful thing. He said, but it's one thing to write poems, and it's another thing to make your life a poem for God. That what we seek is that our life is a work of art for Allah. It is an offering for Allah. And your life is your work of art. Each moment you are making a mark, and when you die, you will see your artwork. Will it be beautiful? Will it be ugly? And Allah is Al-Ghafoor Rahim. إِنَّكَ الْعَفُوُ أَنْ تُهِبَ الْعَفُوَ فَعَفُوا عَنَّا. Allah can erase some of the ugly marks on your artwork if you turn to Him. And so this is what we hope for, and this is what we turn to Allah for, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we wanted to make a book that was not only with poetry, but in fact was like the great manuscripts of our tradition. Every aspect of what Muslims did was done with ihsan, because Allah is beautiful and loves beauty. And so, if you look at the traditional manuscripts, ancient books, in the great museums around the world, people fill the museums to look at the books of our tradition. Wow, look at how they did them. Look at the leather work, the binding. Look at the calligraphy and the handwritten. And so we wanted to make an ode to the great books of the past. And this is what we've done here with the Art of Remembrance. And alhamdulillah, we had it printed in Turkey. And may Allah bring His mercy to those suffering in the aftermath of the earthquake in Turkey, as well as in Syria, inshallah. And so, this is what we're here for, is to remember. And Mawlana Rumi very beautifully put it. He said that there was a servant who was sent from a great king. And the great king said, "Go to the marketplace and bring me back a short list of things. And you have all day, just be back before the market closes at sundown." And so the servant went out and he said, "Alhamdulillah, I have all day." So as he's going to the market, he sees a festival. There was a fair. And there was all the rides and the games and everything that was happening. And so he said, "I have all day. I can take some time and enter into this fair." And so he entered in and he rode the rides. And he made friends and he interacted with people and he played the games and he enjoyed himself. But very quickly he lost track of time. And he got so engrossed in the festival and the fair that by the time he looked up, he realized that the sun was setting. And he had missed the market. And he had to return to the king empty-handed. So Mawlana Rumi is saying that we are the servant sent into this world, and Allah gave us a few easy tasks. And we can partake of the festival and the fair, and the sweet things and the rides and all those things. But we should never forget to remember the purpose for which we came, so we don't return empty-handed. And this is the Art of Remembrance. So we pray that Allah makes us people of remembrance. And I wanted to read you the title poem from the book. Remember until it seeps into your bones like the December wind. Remember and remember and remember until remembrance wins. Till all remember wins, remember when there was nothing but remembrance. In the presence of beginningless's never-ending present tense. Remember when there was nothing but remembrance? In the presence of beginningless's never-ending present tense. Remember till a voice proclaims, what did we forget again? Till the part that has resistance to remember starts to giving in. Remember then, remember it again, again. A spirit greater than the universe has come and hid in skin. Remember the forgiver to the point that you forget your sins. Remembrance the giver until all your gifts are sent from him. Remember it's the giver until when you give, it's really him. Giving and receiving what is need if you are given him. Remember the reviver until when you die, you live again. Remember the annihilator till your eye subsists in him. Remember the inspired one who taught us how to get to him. Peace upon his soul and on his family and his holy friend. Peace upon his soul and on his family and his holy friends. The one who rose to even higher than an angel ever dare ascend. Then out of love and mercy, he returned into the world of men. Remember the all-seeing until all that you can see is him. And if you cannot witness this, then know this witness witnesses. Through your seeing vision, even though your feeble vision's dim, and when you draw near until he loves you, who is seeing then? You didn't throw when you threw, but we threw through your blessed hand. You didn't throw when you threw, but we threw through your blessed hand. Are you surprised the Most High could throw through a mortal man? Hasn't he told you he molded you from something insignificant? Then spoke to your clay as he blew his spirit into it. Remember the beloved until love itself transcends your skin and radiates beyond you into everything that was and is and will be if he wills it to be in a million moments, kula yomin, each affair he begins again. Polish the mirror so his light you reflect within. The rust that has formed on its face is forgetfulness. Each breath is a priceless chance to remember him. And the polish of hearts is the art of remembrance. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik alayhi wa ala alihi. Sallallahu alayhi. So alhamdulillah, we're all artists. The takeaway is we're all artists. And one of them said, in the pre-modern world, every man was a particular type of artist. But in the modern world, the artist is a particular type of man. No, everyone was a craftsman or woman. Everyone was a creator. Everyone was dedicated to their art. And everyone understood that the goal of it was not to be a poet, or a bookbinder, or a calligrapher, or a weaver, but that all of those were disciplines that, if approached correctly, would transform you and your soul. And Titus Burkhart wrote a book about Fez called The Fez City of Islam, which he was talking about pre-modern Islamic cities and how they produce saints. And he talked about the comb maker who made combs in the traditional way out of bone. And this comb maker said, I've been making combs like my master made combs, like his master made combs, like his master made combs, all the way back. He said, but now, just in our generation, these plastic combs are coming in from China, and I can't compete because mine takes a whole day to make. They can sell 100 for the price of mine. He said, but the way that I was taught by my master is that the comb is a spiritual thing. Because just as it has many teeth, but its spine is one, likewise the universe has many forms, but one is behind them all. And so we are not created to be consumers, but creators. Because we are created with the names of Allah. وَهُوَ الْخَالِقُ الْبَارِي الْمُصَوَّرُ لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. He is the creator, the fashioner, the former. And we are to embody his names, the most beautiful names. And so, alhamdulillah, it's a blessing to be with artists of the sacred. And these arts that we're, inshallah, part of the honor of reviving in our tradition, even in the English language. That when Islam spread into India or into Turkey or into Africa or far east into China or Java, what happened? The people became poets. Because the Quranic revelation washed over their souls and it infused them with meaning. And when you're experiencing meaning, you can't but desire to express it. And so it is hoped that our brothers here, Sidi Abdullah, Sidi Uthman, these great efforts to infuse the English language with the barakah of the Muhammadan revelation will be a means to transform not only our hearts, but our societies, inshallah. And so it's an honor to be amongst you, and may we walk in the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in fact, at the end of the day, and this is what I'll end with, is that Allah is the artist, and the cosmos is His art. And the true art is to allow Allah to write the qualities of the Prophet ﷺ on the canvas of your soul. That is the art. That is the art. So may we be infused with the art of remembrance. Alhamdulillah wa shukrillah.
Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik alayhi wa ala alihi. Ya Rabbi salli ala Muhammad, Allah, Allah. Ya Rabbi salli ala Muhammad, Allah, Allah. Ahmad Nabiyina, Nur al-Madina. Nur al-Madina, Allah, Allah. أهم وحدي بذكر ربي الله الله أهم وحدي بذكر ربي الله الله فذكر ربي هو شفاء هو شفاء الله الله أحببت ربا هو اعتمادي الله الله أحببت ربا هو اعتمادي الله الله لكل شيء هو يشاء هو يشاء الله الله يا ربي صلي على محمد الله الله يا ربي صلي على محمد الله الله نور النبينا نور المدينة نور المدينة الله الله وكل حب لغير ربي الله الله وكل حب لغير ربي الله الله فيه العذاب فيه الشقاء فيه الشقاء الله الله يا فوز فانين عن الفناء الله الله يا فوز فانين عن الفناء الله الله له الحياة له البقاء له البقاء الله الله يا ربي صلي على محمد الله الله يا ربي صلي على محمد الله الله أحمد نبينا نور المدينة نور المدينة الله الله يا ربي صلي على محمد الله الله يا ربي صلي على محمد الله الله من ذاته نور وضياء نور وضياء الله الله وآله وصحب الكرام الله الله وآله وصحب الكرام الله الله لهم أهود لهم وفاء لهم وفاء الله الله يا ربي صلي على محمد الله الله يا ربي صلي على محمد الله الله نور النبي نور المدينة نور المدينة الله الله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك لي وعلى آلي إن شاء الله we'll pray Isha at 8 and before that we're going to hear from Sheikh Abdullah, maybe do some dua for us, inshallah ta'ala.
Bismillah. So I just wanted to, just to close off the evening, you know, a spiritual ode is made up of its words and then singing, And I'm sitting beside one person who writes better words than me, another person who sings better than me. So I will share something that I wrote a long time ago in my student days back in Jordan. And it's actually based on a tune that I had heard more than 30 years ago, or about 30 years ago. And it's a Canadian folk song from my childhood that I heard and I forgot it. Anyways, it came back to my head. And so this is a very simple song. And it goes like, it's called Longings. And we'll finish with this. When I think of family and friends that I've had, all of these blessings, although I'm so bad, I'm grateful to Allah, but I'm still a bit sad, 'cause I wish you were with us again. Chosen by Allah to teach us His deen, sent as a mercy to His Alameen. And now you're resting under the dome green, but I wish you were with us again. Abused by the pagans and persecuted, there's no God but Allah, was all that you'd said. For us, your Ummah, you cried and you bled, and I wish you were with us again. I know I shouldn't pray for things that can't be. You've gone on and that is a reality. But I can't help feelings that dwell inside me, and I wish you were with us again. With us again, 'cause you gave me hope. Just when my life had hit a downward slope, you brought us together to hold Allah's rope. And though you're not here, through Allah we'll cope. People would curse you, throw dust on your head. You'd take their harsh words, give kind ones instead. Your enemies changed by the lives that you led. Oh, how many hearts did you mend? Your patience and kindness are guides for my life. You taught me to be just and respect my wife, to give to my parents and neighbors their rights. And I wish you could teach us again. Some people say that we love you too much, but I don't think they know what love is as such. 'Cause oh, what we'd give for just one glance or touch, they'd know how we feel for you then. And I realize I can't get back the past, and moments in this life are passing so fast. Now with these thoughts and emotions amassed, I long for the day when I'll see you at last. 'Cause you'll be our refuge on the judgment day, when family and friends will be running away. My Ummah, to Allah will you say, and I hope that I'll be with you then. 'Cause all those who loved you obeyed God's commands. Your followers come from all nations and lands. They'll drink at the fountain from your blessed hands, and I hope that I'll be one of them. Yes, I hope that I'll be with you then. Inshallah, we'll be with you then. Upon you may peace Allah send.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Oh Allah, thank you so much for every single thing that you've given us. Oh Allah, thank you so much for sending your beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, thank you so much for creating him. Oh Allah, thank you so much for creating us and making us followers of him. Oh Allah, thank you so much for letting the message of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reach us. Oh Allah, thank you so much for letting us say a single salat on your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, thank you so much for guiding us on the way through him to you. Ya Allah, thank you so much for letting us gather here together. Thank you for letting us come from great distances to sit here after many years. And oh Allah, thank you for
every single salat and every single dhikr and every single thing that has come here that is pleasing to you, Ya Allah, it's only from you, Ya Allah. We ask you forgiveness for all of our sins, all of our mistakes, all of our shortcomings. Ya Allah, let us never think, Ya Allah, that by these words your Prophet has been praised, but rather through his blessed mention, it's our words that have been raised. Ya Allah, one single salat, Ya Allah, we cannot pay you back for that. One single mention of your name, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, and if it wasn't for this beloved Prophet, we would not know who you are. Ya Allah, thank you so much. Forgive us our shortcomings and our bad intentions and purify them and cleanse them and bring us back safely here time and time and time again to remember you and your beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Allah, and make this a means, Ya Allah, of purifying our hearts, Ya Allah, and blessing us and our families and the families of every single person who's here and every single person who's watching at home and will be watching over the years, Ya Allah, and every single person who's connected to this place and this Mubarak community, Ya Allah, and in our Ummah, Ya Allah, let anything that we've done good here, Ya Allah, go towards the forgiveness of the sins of the Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and to alleviate their burdens, all the people who are suffering in any single way, Ya Allah, and especially those, our brothers and sisters in Turkey and in Syria, Ya Allah. Let those who have passed away, Ya Allah, get the highest firdaus, Jannatul Firdaus with you, Ya Allah, and those who have survived, make it easy for them, make them stronger, make it a light, Ya Allah, that will spread all around the world and make it easy for all those who are struggling, Ya Allah, and bless the whole Ummah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Most of all, send endless, infinite peace and blessings on your beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Al-Fatiha.
Again, Jazakumullah Khair for coming, guys. Jazakumullah Khair, Sheikh Abdullah and Baraka Blue. Alhamdulillah, we're going to pray Isha now. And then afterwards, Baraka Blue's book will be in the hallway, inshallah. Jazakumullah Khair. And also, I just want to say that all of us have been blessed to have Islam, mashallah. We're all converts here. I just realized that. So, alhamdulillah. All you guys were born Muslims. You guys are lucky. But, alhamdulillah, you know. I mean, JazakAllah khair wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum.